What a grace to believe in a time where faith is almost impossible to find, where people doubt God and what He has done, that we can believe with all our heart, without any effort. And then even as the scripture says, we have heard two or three thoughts and words, the last one about love, and there we find some passages in the Holy Scripture that speak of this divine love. And it says here in verse 8, in 1 Corinthians 13, love never ceases. The gift of prophecies will come to an end. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Knowledge shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I also am known. And now abideth faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. When we read such scriptures, then a great desire arises in us. Lord, let it be so. Let it be so in our lives, as we read it in your word, as you would like it to be, and find it when you come. Let it become like this by your grace. Do you feel the same way? When you read such scriptures, then one examines oneself on the spot. You don't need half an hour startup time to examine yourself, but you immediately ask yourself the question, is it true in my life what we read here in the Holy Scriptures? Has God already been able to work it, or is it just written? We believe that we are living in the days when God is bringing His work to completion. But it must be crowned in divine love. Paul even says of the proclamation, the final aim of preaching is love. When a preaching is done without love, it will not accomplish for what God has sent the word for. Sometimes the word is very sharp and hard, but it must be embedded in the love of God, and all whom the Lord loves, He rebukes and chastises. After all, He wants us to no longer remain immature children, but really, as Paul said here, when I was a child, I spake and acted like a child, but now, when I became a man, I put away childish things. I think we all need to examine ourselves also in this point and ask God from the bottom of our hearts to let us enter unto a perfect man. It seems to me that this verse is important. The second part of verse 12, or all of it. For now we see through a glass, darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I also am known. This is a very important thought. Only those who have been known by God before the foundation of the world also know God in turn. Only then does this connection with God come about, that we no longer puzzle and guess, but as Jesus said, from now on, I will speak to you openly and no longer in parables. We will then come back to John 17. In the prophet Isaiah 28, we heard the wonderful word, first of all the question, whether the plowman plows or whether he also sows, or whether he reaps, and so on. But you all know that this word comes directly after the greatest announcement of all times, namely after the completion of the work that God will carry out. And for that, I want to read from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 28, from verse 19. From the time that it goeth forth, it shall take you. For morning by morning shall it pass over, by day and by night, and it shall be a vexation only to understand the report. For the bed is shorter than that a man can stretch himself on it, and the covering narrower than that he can wrap himself in it. For the Lord shall rise up as in Mount Perazim. He shall be wroth as in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work, his strange work, and bring to pass his act, his strange act. Now therefore, be ye not mockers, lest your bands be made strong. For I have heard from the Lord God of hosts a consummation, even determined upon the whole earth. Also in this, we could deepen ourselves into these thoughts that are expressed. The work that he has begun, he himself will also finish. How often have we been allowed to say this? Sometimes even had to say it here and there, where people are waiting for a great man, or even seven great men, to appear in order to do something great. No. There are things that God has reserved for himself to do, and it will be so with the completion of his work. He sends servants and prophets to announce what is to happen, but he who has begun, he will also finish. And therefore we know that it will also end well. Should it be men, then we would not know the outcome. Here, this I read again. 28, verse 21. For the Lord shall rise up as in Mount Perazim, not a prophet, not a man of God. The Lord himself shall rise. He will arise, and all the enemies will be made his footstool. He will rise as in the valley of Gibeon. You all know what this scripture is about. When Joshua needed time to strike and defeat the enemy forces, he looked up to heaven and said, "Sun, stand still, and moon, thou also, in the valley of Ayalon." And thus it happened. And the scripture says, "There has not been such a day before, nor since." But it does not say that it will not come again. Have you understood that? You can read these two tenses in that scripture. Where is it? I think Joshua chapter 10 verse 11, there you can read it. And it says here, "And he shall be wroth that he may do his work, his strange work, and bring to pass his act, his strange act." Here we could go to the creation report. When God finished his work, he rested from his work on the seventh day, and he saw that everything was good. God will, at the end of the sixth day, in which we are now living, before the dawn of the seventh day of God, which will be the millennial kingdom, God will bring his work to completion. And on the seventh day he will rest, and we will rest with him, for that will be the millennial reign. Then it says here, "Now therefore, be ye not mockers." We read it yesterday, that mockers will come on the scene and ask, "Where is his promised return?" Don't you worry. He has not only promised his return, he has announced the judgment. He has said, "The day is coming that will burn like an oven." And then even the dignitaries will cry out with all their might, "You hills, fall upon us. You mountains, cover us from the wrath of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb." There comes, after the day of grace, a period, a day of wrath, and that is the day when the judgment of wrath will fall upon all mankind who have not used the day of salvation for their personal salvation. What use is a day of salvation to us if we do not let ourselves be helped on the day of salvation? After all, it is written, "On the day of salvation he helped me." And then, "This is the acceptable time. This is the day of salvation." But when that day will be over, then shall come the day of calamity, the day of the Lord, which shall burn as an oven. And then coming to this wonderful promise that the Lord has given us for our comfort, that he will arise and that he himself will do his work, his strange work, and bring to pass his act, his strange act. The first part, this applies 100% on us, namely verse 20. "For the bed is shorter than that a man can stretch himself on it." The Lord always took very practical examples from the daily life, from nature, from everything. Just read the Sermon on the Mount, read the Gospels, always practical examples. Here it's about the bed. Yes, stretch yourself out. When the bed is short and your legs are too long, stretch out. That doesn't work at all. And if you are a bit fat and you are supposed to cover yourself, then it's too little here also. If you cover yourself there, you are naked here and you try to cover yourself. And it's not enough here and not enough there. Too short here, too short there. And we have long since understood that despite everything, we still have come too short. But then God will help our shortcomings. And He Himself will arise and finish His work. Blessed be His holy name. Today we lament about our shortcomings. Let us be glad when we realize that it's not enough. It would be terrible if we were struck with blindness and did not even notice that it's not enough here and not enough there, and here and there it's not yet as it should be. Thanks be to the Lord, who also took care in this point, and that He thought of to tell us this. It is not a man who will finish the work of God, but He, the Lord Himself, will finish His work, His strange work, His act, His strange act. He will bring the cause to completion with the church from the nations, and then with Israel, and He will carry out His cause with all the world. And at the end of it all, He will stand highly exalted. When all the kings are down from their thrones and all prime ministers are out of work, the Lord will be exalted and reign as King over all the earth, and we with Him. We belong to the people of God. Then it says here, as we have all read and heard about the threshing and so forth, everything must have its proper place. Here it says, dill is not threshed with a threshing instrument. Sometimes we, as the preachers of the word, we don't always have the right tools to handle the thing rightly. May God grant that we use the right word for everything and put on the right tool and understand what God was trying to tell us. We could even continue here, but I would like to give Brother Rus a little time, because it is just right. To me, it stood out in the Gospel of John in chapter 17, how the Lord puts us on a level with Himself. He said, I am not of this world, even as ye are not of this world. But the directly striking thing is in chapter 16 and 17. There is the repeated statement to believe that He came forth from God. I read verse 26 in chapter 16, Gospel of John 16, verse 26. At that day ye shall ask in My name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father Himself loveth you, because ye loved Me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father and am come into the world. This came forth. Not I was beside Him, but I was in Him, out from God. Only God can come forth to call into existence a new divine kindred. Therefore it is written, therefore, O God, your God has anointed you with oil of gladness. first God in spirit and then God in flesh. About such things, I could jump over the table here. I don't know about you, but this is revelation. And that hits the core of the divine revelation. Not passing God right and left, but this hits the core of the divine revelation. That I came out from God. I came forth from the Father and am come into the world. Again I leave the world and go to the Father. Then verse 30. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. These statements will be a challenge to the theologians of this generation. This must be put upon the lampstand. Because look, we've been through it here. God had a human race, but Satan managed and brought the human race under his control, under his inspiration, under his influence. And then God found a way to be revealed in human form and to make good what the first Adam had corrupted and to give us eternal life by grace. Then it says here in chapter 17, yes, also from verse 6, but then especially verse 8, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Amen. Not to all, but to those whom you have given me out of the world. To them I have revealed your name. They know that your and my name is one name. They know that the name of the Father and of the Son is the same name. I have revealed thy name unto them whom thou hast given me out of the world. Amen. To you they belong, and unto me thou hast given them, and they have kept thy word. Amen. They have kept thy word, not interpreted, kept, received, and moved and pondered on it in their hearts. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Just something very wonderful. It cannot be said more clearly than it was said here in the Word of God. And that's why he was not ashamed to call us his brethren. He has revealed the name to us. He has given the word, and we may carry it on. The same name, the same word. I think it's written in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10, Hebrews 2, from verse 10. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, and to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one Father. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God has given me. Right after the resurrection, our Lord said, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. But go and tell my brethren that I may go before them into Galilee. He had to become like his brothers in all things, so that his brothers could become like him in all things. Here God did something great and wonderful. Of course, if you read in Hebrews 1 from verse 5, for unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, and again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. Remember the word Son of Man. Yes. And let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is for ever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, has anointed thee with oil of gladness above thy fellows. Who will explain this? No one needs to explain it. The matter is quite clear in itself. A new beginning had to be made, and in the Son of God, that new beginning has been made. I repeat myself with joy. The beginning of this divine kindred. After all, our Lord was not only begotten by the Spirit. He was anointed with the Spirit, filled with the Spirit. He not only had the sonship, he was set in when the time was fulfilled and carried out his ministry. In the same way, we too must experience it, that we are not only born again and have become God's children, but that God can set us in into the sonship, namely as those who have come of age unto a perfect man in Christ. For also this, Paul states here very clearly, he says, until a son comes of age, there is no great difference between the son and the servant. But when the son has come of age, and everything was handed over to him and committed to him, then there is a very great difference between the servant and the son. And God wants to bring us to the point that we too are anointed with a truly anointing of God. What did Peter say at that time in the second or third sermon? Jesus of Nazareth, whom God anointed, and he went out to preach and so forth. You all know this passage here in the book of Acts. I'm sure I don't need to look for it again. What we all need to do is to thank God more and to understand what we have been given. Our Lord has come forth from God. And please, please take this along with you. He who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have the same Father. All the same Father. We were in God as He was in God. We were chosen before the foundation of the world, just as He was chosen before the foundation of the world, to be offered as a sacrifice for sins. The whole plan of salvation of our God was purposed before the foundation of the world. And so we may realize in these days what it all means, for it is coming to its climax. And believe me, at the very end, the Lord God will be glorified among all nations, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. Every tongue. We are already doing it today. We do it with joy. We confess that He is the Lord, the same Lord who spoke to Moses, to Abraham, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Please, Brother Rus, I believe all the words that we have heard, we must take them to heart, that they do not bypass our ears, but we must absorb them in us, that we are strengthened, that we abide in the Word. If we are His inheritance, then we cannot help but receive what comes from Him. And I believe God has also spoken to us in these hours, most certainly. How could He speak otherwise? He has left us His Word. He has provided. He has sent His servant and prophet. And as we have seen again today, or was it last night? It doesn't matter when. But everything that was announced through Him must come to pass. And we may be witnesses of it. Isn't that wonderful? The disciples were witnesses in those days of all that what was announced by the Lord. He said to them, He could tell them in advance, you will all be offended at me today. You will be all scattered. Did He say it? How did He know it? He knew it. He was the true one, the one announced by God. He had come. No one needed to tell Him anything. He knew what was going to happen. Perhaps the disciples thought, how is it all going to happen? They may not have had any idea that everything was going to happen like this, let alone that something would happen to Him, but that everything was going to be fine according to their understanding. But it didn't go according to that. But everything went according to the plan of God. And the same is in our days. We may have some ideas, but it is not according to our ideas. It is according to the plan of God. We may not recognize it at first. We may still be going, but then all of a sudden, the light comes on in us. I think a little bit back, About 20 years back, we heard the tapes, we heard the messages, and some things were unclear to us. Sometimes we didn't even know what decision to make. At least I didn't. I heard so much about baptism, this and that. It was not yet clear to me that I had to be baptized. And so it may have been with all of us. And even now, many things may still be incomprehensible to us. But the time will come when we will come from clarity to clarity. And we are so glad and so grateful for all these teachings from the Holy Scriptures. We are also thankful that God has given a messenger for our days. This is not meant to be a bouquet, but maybe on the other side it is. Brother Branham says, better a bouquet when the person is still alive, if I may put it in my words, than a wreath when he is already gone. But we are grateful to God for each other. We are grateful to God for the messenger who came. We are grateful to God for the messenger who is here. We are thankful for everything, for the understanding we already have, and for what we don't have yet but will receive. We are already grateful for that too, because God, our Lord, He will continue to open our understanding for His Word. He will continue to lead us. He will continue to show us the way when it's perhaps still dark before us and some things are still veiled, but He will lead us on. If we only place our trust fully in Him, we don't need to worry at all, but just cast all our cares upon Him. He will make all things well. Yes, we really want to cast everything on Him. He will make everything well. Sometimes it looks like that we are the ones who are abandoned, but it's not like that. He has promised to stay with His people. Did He say it? He said, I am with you always. Yes, if it had only been for His disciples, they all had to go. But He said, to the end of the world. That's the thing. We are included in it, brothers and sisters. We are included. Oh yes, He has seen us. That's how we read it over and again in the sermons of Brother Branham. Yes, we were already, before the foundation of the world, we were already in His mind. He saw us already. He saw all our days, your life, my life, and He saw our shortcomings, our failures, everything. He saw it. When we look at all that, then we feel so little, so miserable. Even a man of God like Brother Branham, he felt so in faults, in transgressions. But, on the other hand, he could say, the grace of God was manifested in his life. And the same we can say, when we sometimes feel so poor and miserable, but then we know there is one who carries us. Praise and thanks be to His wonderful name. Brothers and sisters, I believe we have a privilege to offer honor and worship to the Lord. I don't think any of us should be silent, but our hearts should be open, our mouths should be opened, and we should offer thanks and worship to the Lord for these precious hours, for this time that we can have with one another. Just think, where would we be if God's grace had not called us? Perhaps one sooner, one later, but the grace of God has called us. And perhaps He will call some more We still want to see it. We don't want that the last one is already called, but we want that more are added, those who shall be added. And we firmly believe that they will be added. Yes, the Lord is still on the throne, and everything is subject to Him. And for that, we are so grateful to Him. Let us now offer Him glory and worship and thanksgiving. Brothers and sisters, we should not be considerate, but we should really feel free, so free, in the family of God, in the house of God. We should not look at our past or what is ahead of us, but we should raise our voices and lift our hearts and give thanks to our God. It doesn't matter what will come along our way. You cannot change your fate, and I also not. But what we can do, we must arise after God has spoken. I don't believe that God just speaks to us because it's a coincidence. No, it's a special grace. This time is a special time, a special grace from God for you and for me and for all of us. And I was thinking about this. We can't escape it at all. Where are we going to go? As Peter said, where shall we go? No, we came out as Abraham went out. He could not go back. No, never back. No, we must go forward. He waited for the city, which builder is God. Yes, he waited. He saw it already, that something was coming. We are also waiting and closer to the goal. Oh, how wonderful. I think we stand up. Let us all thank and worship the Lord and exalt His name, for He has done great things for us. Of this we are glad and thankful. Oh Lord, faithful God, once again we thank You together for the grace, Lord, that was given to us, and for Your word, Lord, that we could hear. Give us all grace that we have received Your word, that we do accordingly, that we keep Your word, Lord, for You have said, He who has My commandments and keeps them, it is him who loves Me, O Lord. We have heard Your word of love. Lord, may it not only be heard, may it really accomplish in me, in all of us, Lord, that Your love may burn in us, O Lord, that Your word, Lord, may become so great in us. O Lord, may Your whole life and being be given to us, Lord. All this I ask for myself and for my brothers and sisters, Lord, for all together, Lord. You have blessed us in these hours, and You will continue to bless us. I ask You, abide now with our brothers and sisters on the way home. Bless them all. Bless our dear brother Frank, Lord, when he again goes on journeys, Lord. Bless Your people everywhere, in all places, Lord. We ask it, Lord. Stay with us in this place, Lord. My God, You know us. You know, Lord, how hard it is sometimes. But You, Lord, You are able to help us. You have helped us. And You will continue to help us. Worship and glory to Your name. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.